as kids getting ready and getting out to school this morning. A little school days music for you here. Mm-hmm. We're doing that because we have with us on the line Lily Eskelson Garcia. She is the president of the National Education Association. She has a couple days here in Ohio, and she is in Cleveland today to speak to the folks at the City Club with a talk called Opportunity for All, Collective Action for Collective Excellence. Give us an insight as to maybe a little of what you might talk about. What does collective action for collective excellence mean?
Well, you know, and good morning, and thank you for having a beautiful Cleveland and a beautiful day for my visit today.
No problem at all.
What I'm going to be talking about with the City Club of Cleveland, a very prestigious group, and I'm very proud to be here, is how we all have to come together for our public schools. I represent 3 million educators. The Ohio Education Association is one of our strongest affiliates, and they're the ones that invited me to come. And they said, you know what, everything that teachers and support staff are doing in that school, that's so important. We're going to do our jobs to the best of our ability every day, but we can't do it alone. We need the business community. We need parents. We need grandparents. We need the guy who walks your dog. We need everybody to own that school and to say, we believe in that school. We believe in education. And we're here to push that agenda forward, that every single child will have what he or she needs to succeed.
Lily, is there a sense that doesn't happen often enough?
Well, I'll tell you, we've been living under this cloud called No Child Left Untested. And I'm going to say some words in a sentence that I'm not sure anyone in 100 years has actually said. Congress is about to do something very smart. I'm not sure anyone has actually used those very words in the same sentence, but after 13 years of No Child Left Untested, where the only thing people were talking about with public schools were hit your cut score on a standardized test. It doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't matter that you don't have bands, that kids don't have recess anymore. It doesn't matter that you've got 40 kids in a classroom. Just hit your cut score on a reading and math test, and we'll check that box. That's all we're going to do for kids. And now it's been such a disaster that people, like business people at the City Club of Cleveland, are saying, okay, how are we going to get this right? And Congress is actually talking about getting rid of that toxic testing obsession with a standardized test and saying, all right, let's talk about better ways to know how kids are doing. Let's talk about measuring the services, the supports, the programs that kids have in their schools, whether or not they have what they need to succeed. And we know we're seeing Congress move because it's not just the educators. It's also the parents. It's also the business community. It's the local and state politicians saying, you know, stop trying to tell teachers how to do their job. How about if we help teachers with what they need to do their jobs?
We're talking this morning with the National Education Association President, Lily Eskelson Garcia. She's in Cleveland. She'll be speaking in front of the City Club folks today. Let's talk about some of the things that you're looking to discuss, including the quality of educators. Is education teaching still a profession people are getting into? What's the training like that for many of them?
Well, let me tell you, most people will say that they've heard there's a teacher shortage. And let me assure you, we graduate some fabulous, wonderful teachers from your state universities. And all over the country, we have people saying, I want to be a teacher. These are folks with some pretty big hearts. They're going to college. They're spending a lot of money to go to college. They could go into technology or business or law or anything they wanted. And they say, I want to change the world by helping someone else's child. And that's what got me into teaching. I'm an elementary teacher. But what we're finding is that they'll get a job, and within a few years, half of those wonderful, energetic, true believers in kids say, they left me behind. I personally had a class of 39 fifth graders. That was a tough year. We're sharing textbooks. Of all of the things that we're having to stretch a dollar to get through the day, the thing that I hear from my teachers most, more than anything else, they'll say, and they're obsessing over whether or not these three kids are going to go 3 points up on their cut score on some standardized test at the end of the year, or these third graders don't get to be fourth graders, or these seniors don't get to graduate. Nothing else that we're doing for our kids matter if we can't put it on a standardized test. And so they're so disheartened. Their hearts are broken, and we've lost some of our finest teachers. So one of the things that we want to do is bring together entire communities to really support the teachers. I talked to some incredible Ohio teachers, and against all odds, we are still keeping incredible people in our schools, because I have to give them some hope. Don't give up. Don't give up on the system. Don't give up your profession, because you love those kids. You know how important they are. And let's work together. Let's have that collective action inside our profession and in the community at large that demands something better for our kids. They're really hopeful, because we've been seeing Republicans and Democrats in Congress that I get to go sit and talk to as president of the NEA, and they said, okay, so what are your ideas? What would you do? And we talk about the kinds of things that you could measure that really count. How many kids are graduating from high school already having earned college credit? That's something you can count, and you'd be looking at a lot of different kinds of programs, vocational programs, partnerships with your community colleges, advanced placement and honors, and international baccalaureate programs in every school that could really set those kids' hair on fire and get them to see the relevance in their schools. We're saying, don't dumb things down to what you can fit on a standardized test. Let's measure things that really are going to have those kids take off in their futures.
Lily, when it comes to spheres of influence, should it be coming down from the Fed? Should it be coming down from the State Board of Education? Should it be coming from the local school board?
Oh, thank you for that question. A lot of people don't think to ask a question like that. I know how powerful I am as a sixth grade teacher. When I taught fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I knew that I was responsible for those kids' future. So it really galls me, and I know it galls my colleagues, when a politician, a bureaucrat who's never going to walk into my classroom, who's never going to look at Jennifer and Justin and have them not only learn their times tables but behave themselves, tells me how to do my job. We actually have people who are saying, here's the textbook that we picked. Every one of you needs to be on page 73 today. We're going to sit at the back of your room and make sure you read a script. That's not how you teach kids. I teach kids to ask a good question. That's more important than them memorizing somebody else's answer. I have them argue with each other and use evidence and reason for why they believe that something is correct. They debate each other. They write a report for me. They learn presentation skills. They're learning the kinds of things that I think are going to help them someday when they're adults, and they're learning it when they're 10 years old. So, yes, the tables have been turned, where people who have lofty titles, sometimes governor, sometimes secretary of education, and they'll say, here's what we want you to do today in your math class. And what we want to do is to flip that. We know that being that classroom teacher means we are at the top. We're the ones who know the names of those boys and girls. And we need help. We need support. We need collaboration time. But we don't need someone with a big title in a corner office telling us what to do. We're the ones who actually know what we're doing. And that's the other thing that we think we could change with No Child Left. When you stop focusing on that obsessive standardized test and you say your job is to get this kid to really be inspired to learn more, then it's like, get out of my way. We know how to do that.
Well, somebody thinking back to their school years always has a favorite teacher that influenced them. They never think of a favorite board of education that influenced them. There's always the one individual that made an impact in their life, and that's really the work of the teacher. You're again going to be speaking in front of the City Club today, and of course, if people want to find out more of what's going on with the NEA and some of the things you were talking about, where's a good place for them to maybe get involved, get more information on this?
You know, you can go up to our website, and I'm going to take you to a very specific place, NEA.org/GetESEARight. Because ESEA is the old name of No Child Left Behind. It's the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. We loved it when it had a boring name. And we want to get back to saying, get ESEA right is what all of us need to come together to do. Let's leave behind judging a whole and happy, blessed child by a cut score on a standardized test. And let's talk about what every child needs to really make their futures what they could be. You can go up to that website, moms, dads, grandmas, business folks, taxpayers, and you can see what teachers all across the country are asking Congress to do. And if you want to join us, you can like click a button and contact your senator or congressman and add your voice to that.
Lily Eskelson-Garcia, president of the National Education Association, joining us this morning. By the way, I could tell you were an elementary school teacher when you started talking about good morning and happy about the weather. That's how every good elementary school teacher
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.